Lesson 5 is on spiritual growth. The scripture study is as follows. Question 1. What are the 3 stages of spiritual growth and what happens in each stage? 1 John 2:12 through 14. Question 2. What must we do daily in order to grow in relationship to God? Luke 9:23 and Romans 12:1-2. Question 3. What are the things we must seek to add to our faith in order to grow spiritually, and in what order? 2 Peter 1:5-11. Question 4. As we grow in God and our mind is renewed, what things will God remove from our life, and what are the 11 things he will replace them with? Ephesians 4:17-5:16. Question 5. How should we deal with problems we have with people in order to grow spiritually? Matthew 5:23-24 and chapter 18:15-17. Question 6. How should we live in order to grow spiritually? Romans 8:5-6 and Galatians 5:16-25. Question 7. How will spiritual growth help you in your relationship with God? John 7:17 and Ephesians 5:17. And question 8. What does doing God's will enable us to experience in this life? Romans 8:1 and also verses 13-14, verse 28, verse 31, and verses 35-39. Also Colossians 1:9-13. The basic questions for lesson 5 are as follows. 1. What stage of spiritual growth are you in? 2. Are you daily yielding your life to Christ in order to grow spiritually? 3. Are you seeking to add to your faith the things you need in order to grow spiritually, and are you doing it in the proper order? 4. What things does God need to remove from your life in order for you to grow spiritually? 5. Are you seeking to set your mind on the things of the Spirit in order to walk in the Spirit? And 6. Is knowing and doing God's will the most important thing in life? The memory verse for Lesson 5 is Luke 9:23. Listen now as we share with you on Lesson number 5. Well, we're glad you can join us for Lesson number 5. Our Basic Christian Life series. We've been studying about dealing with our problems and finding the solution to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that relationship being eternal life. That is, knowing God and getting to know His will for our life. But we need to understand that part of this getting to know God is going to be a process of growth. Just as a person does not instantly become an adult physically, the same is in the spiritual realm. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, we're born again. That means we're born of the Spirit of God. Our soul is brand new. It's just like a child, even though it may be in an adult body. We may be physically an adult. Spiritually, we're a child. And there's going to be a process of growth that we're going to have to go through to become what God wants us to become. Now, that's what this lesson's all about. Spiritual growth. How, and learning how to live for Jesus Christ. How do we live this Christian life? How do we walk in the Spirit by faith and obedience? How do we really maintain our armor and keep it strong? And all the things that we've talked about. How do we do that? Now, we must realize that just as I said a moment ago, as we grew to be an adult physically, our spirit man will have to grow. And there's some stages of growth spiritually. So let's look. Question number 1 is, what are the 3 stages of spiritual growth? what happens in each stage. So that's from 1 John 2:12-14. And I hope you've already done your lesson. If you haven't, you need to stop and go through and do the questions and answer them before you listen to the tape. But hopefully you've already done that. And so we're going to look at these, and we're going to look at the scriptures for just a minute. And you can look at your answers, compare them with the ones we share with you, and then you'll know. And then you realize how God is working in your life to teach you His truth. Now let's look here in 1 John 2:12-14. It says, the child of God simply knows his sins are forgiven him because of what Jesus did. It says the young person, the young adult, it says the young men have overcome the wicked one because the Word of God abides in them. They've learned to live the Word of God. And then it says, the fathers or the adults know him who's from the beginning. Now, they know God's eternal purpose for their life, and they're living to fulfill that purpose. So the three stages are child, young adult, and adult. And in the child stage, we just know our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then in the young adult stage, we have begun to walk in that victory over Satan, over his attacks, over his temptations. And then as we become an adult, we begin to know God's purpose, and we begin to live to fulfill that purpose for our lives. So if that's the case, then what must we do daily in order to grow in our relationship with God? There's something that we did initially when we gave our life to Jesus, and yet it needs to be maintained on a daily basis. You know, we talked about in salvation about yielding ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus, yielding ourselves in relationships, goals and ambitions, possessions, things we have, our relationships and things we want to do. Those need to be yielded to God when we come to Jesus. And then in Luke 9:23, it says here that we must come to the cross daily to deny self and follow Him. We must yield our relationships, goals and ambitions and possessions to God every day. And in Romans 12:1-2, it says, I ask you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to yield your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to see what that renewing of the mind is in just a moment. But what we need to learn from this question, these scriptures, is that we must yield ourselves to God every day, totally. Our relationships, our goals, ambitions, and possessions, if we're going to live for Him. That is the first key. That's what enabled us to come to Jesus. And that's what's going to help us live for Him every day. So we've got to come to the cross every day, deny self, and follow Him. So that's where it starts. If we're not willing to do that, if we want to just do what we want to do, we'll never live for Jesus Christ. Now, what are the things we need to seek to add to our faith? We said, you know, the little child knows by faith his sins are forgiven. What do we need to add to our faith? And in what order? In order to grow spiritually. And that's from 2 Peter 1:5-11. And it says we need to add to our faith virtue or moral excellence, and to that knowledge, and then patience and endurance, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and agape love. It says if we have these things in increasing measure, we'll not fail. We'll find God's purpose and fulfill it. That's a guarantee from God. Now it all starts with faith. And hopefully by now you have had faith and given your heart to Jesus. And then we have to add to our faith virtue. And that's simply living the Word. That's doing what God's Word says. And then knowledge. You know, sometimes we want to add knowledge. We want to get more knowledge. And we never learn to live the knowledge that we know. So it's not knowledge that causes us to grow, but it's virtue. It's living that knowledge of things that we know that will cause us to grow. And then patience and endurance. We just keep on doing it. We just keep on doing what God tells us to do. And then godliness, we begin to see. That's the transformation of the mind. Things begin to change. We begin to see things from God's perspective. We see things the way God sees them. And before we saw them from a very selfish attitude. We were trying to please ourselves, and we wanted people to like us, and all these different things that are not from God. But we want to be pleasing to God, so we begin to see things from God's perspective. And then brotherly kindness, that means we minister and we love those people who love Jesus, and we seek to minister to their needs. And doesn't matter what their name or if they're from a different group than we are. If they love Jesus, we love them and minister to them. And then agape love, that unselfish love of God. And that enables us to minister to and love everyone just as God does. You know, God ministers to everyone. He says He causes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He gives everyone their food and their breath, and every good thing that they have comes from God. So God will give us that ability to love and to minister to those people He's called us to minister to and the world around us. That agape love comes as we grow spiritually. So it's faith and then living the Word and then getting to know more of the Word so we can live more of the Word. And then patience and endurance. We just keep on living it. And then godliness, brotherly kindness, and agape love, desire. God puts that desire through faith in our heart. And we discipline ourselves to live it and to keep on living it. And then there's the delight of coming in to the things of God, beginning to see things the way God sees them and to do things the way God does them and to love people the way God loves them. So that's what spiritual growth will do. And as we come into that agape love, then we'll begin to see and to know God's purpose for our life. He'll reveal it to us and He'll show it to us. Now, we come to God with many problems in our life. As we grow in God, there's some things that are going to have to come out of our life and some things that are going to have to be replaced in them. And God just doesn't take away. He always gives us something better than what we had. So we need to allow God to take those things out of our life. They're not of Him. And put them back in. And we're going to read the scripture from Ephesians 4:17 to 5:16. We're going to just read that scripture and then we're going to discuss the things that God wants to take out of our life and the things that God wants to put in our life. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which goes corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, or unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We see from these scriptures, we see that God has some things he wants to take out of our life and some things he wants to put in our life. And let's go down page by page. Let's continue to look at those scriptures in Ephesians and see the things that God is going to take out of our life and the things that God is going to put in our life. Now, if we look down here in the fourth chapter, the 20th, fifth verse, let's begin there. Now, he's already talked in those first few verses about the renewing of your mind. We've seen that. God wants to renew. He wants to transform our mind. And so he's already talked to us about those things. And we realize that this is that renewing of the mind that comes as we present our bodies daily a living sacrifice. These are the things that happen as our mind is renewed. The things God will take out are the things he'll replace them with. And the first thing he says, put away lying, speak truth with your neighbor. And we need to learn that that's the first thing. We need to learn to be honest. First of all, be a witness for Jesus. Be willing to tell people that he's our Lord and Savior, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we're living for him. But then we need to be willing to speak to them the truth of the Word of God. When they're living bound by the lies of Satan and by deception, or they may have another religion or something else that has bound them, we need to be willing to tell them about Jesus. We need to be willing to tell them the truth from the Bible that are contrary maybe to the lies that they're bound in. And when we don't speak the truth, then we're lying to them. You know, if you don't say something, people do not assume you disagree. They assume you agree with them. So if you don't speak the things of God to your neighbor, then you're lying to them. So when you know the things of God and you know that your neighbor doesn't, you need to share with them in a loving and kind and humble way, but you need to share with them the truth of the Word of God. And then it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon you, your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You know, anger is the sneak attack of Satan. You know, people don't wake up trying to get angry. They don't decide, I'm going to get angry today. But Satan always creates situations in our life. He knows our area of temptation, and he will create those things that will make us angry. And we've got to learn to deal with that anger in a godly way. You know, if we need to ask forgiveness or receive forgiveness or give forgiveness, whatever it is, make restitution or just trust God in our circumstances, whatever it is that Satan has done to try and make us angry, we need to learn to overcome that day. We don't allow our anger to build, because what happens if we don't deal with our anger, a root of bitterness will come up and it will separate us from God. And we'll begin to take away our faith and tear down our spiritual armor and our trust in God. So we begin to trust God and deal with our anger and don't let it go by. You know, a lot of people, they don't like to confront. They don't like to deal with anger. God says, deal with it that day. Don't put it off. Deal with it right away. When you're angry, deal with it right then. Okay, then the next thing it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him work with his hands that he may have something to give to somebody else, to minister to others in need. You know, when we work in a worldly sense, we work to gain possessions for ourselves. But the Christian, he works to take care of his needs, but he wants to have more than that. And when he has extra, he doesn't selfishly use it on himself. He uses it to minister to others. He's not out to gain possessions so he can show the world how much he possesses, but he's out to gain things so he can have what's needed to help the kingdom of God go on and to minister the kingdom of God to others. That is what motivates. There's attitude toward work changes, and so our heart attitude toward work needs to change. We need to want to work in order to have to minister to others. And then it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but what is good for the edifying of the Holy Spirit, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now we think many times that immoral living grieves the Holy Spirit, and it does, but the things that grieve the Holy Spirit most are the things that we can't see. When it says corrupt communication, he's talking about gossip. He's talking about saying things that may be true. You know, he's already told us to tell the truth. But there's some things that may be true that may not help anyone. We say them because we want to hurt someone, or we want to make ourselves look better than someone. All those things are corrupt communication, and we shouldn't let them come out of our mouth. We should speak only those things that will help people live for Jesus, and those things that don't, we need to avoid saying them, even though they may be true. And so these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. A wrong attitude about work, not dealing with anger, not speaking the truth, or speaking the truth with the wrong motive. Those are the things that really grieve the Holy Spirit, and those things that sometimes are not easily seen by others, but God sees them. And so we may think we're doing those things and getting away with them, but we are not. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then it lists some other things. It talks about let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking put all these things away, and malice be put away. Bad attitudes, really bad attitudes. Just we've got to be the center of attention, and we've got to have what we want, and we're mad when we don't get our way, and all these things. We've got to put those out of our lives. But it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and be followers of God, and as dear children, walk in love. Suddenly, see, all these bad attitudes come because we're selfish. We want things the way we want them, but God, when he begins to move in our heart and life, we begin to become more concerned for others. And that's what needs to replace them. Kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving one another. All those things need to be replaced in our lives with the bad attitudes. And the bad thoughts need to be removed. And those things, we need to be concerned for others. And not be mad, but want to minister to others. And then we come to the things that most people would think of that we need to deal with first, and certainly these things need to be dealt with. But God says that truth, that was number one on this list. And then it comes, but no fornication or uncleanness or covetousness, which is idolatry, be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor coarse talking, or foolish talking, or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Thanking God. Now, here we find the things that most people would put at the top of the list. Yes, immoral lifestyle, perversion, homosexuality, then foolish talking, just saying things that don't need to be said, jokes that hurt someone, or dirty jokes. All those things are bad. We shouldn't say them. But what should be coming out of our mouth? Praising God and talking about Jesus and giving thanks to God for his blessings and talking about the blessings of God. Those are the things that should come out of our mouth and heart. Life. Now, there's a deception, because sometimes the devil will tell you, you can do these things and get away with them. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, but for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you walk in light as children of the light, and walk in the Spirit. Don't be deceived. Don't think you can sin and get away with it, because it will you will experience the same judgments till you repent and receive God's forgiveness and mercy that a lost person will. Don't think it's, now that I'm saved, it's all right to sin. It's not. Don't say, well, it's covered by the blood. I'll just do it. No. Sin always has its consequences. And it says we'll be partakers with him if we sin. And sin always causes problems. Now, all things are manifest. It says right here, all things should be manifest. It has no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, or rather expose them. Now, what is a work of darkness? A work of darkness is anything, and this helps us to know what to do and what not to do. Anything will not produce fruit for God's kingdom according to his will for my life. Now, what may be a work of darkness for me may not be a work of darkness for you, because my calling and purpose may be different. Now, there are certain things that are darkness for all of us, and we need to abstain from. But God may have called you to be a great sportsman and to play some particular sport and to be a witness through being a champion in that sport. And that's fine for you. But if God did not call me to play that sport, even though there's nothing wrong with playing that sport, for me to do it would become a work of darkness. It would not be fruitful for the kingdom of God because God didn't ask me to do that. So we need to look at all the things we're doing in our lives and see, is it producing fruit for the kingdom? And when those things that aren't producing fruit for the kingdom, even though they may be good, need to be removed, and they need to be replaced with those things that will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. So it says, and redeem the time, for the days of evil are evil. How do we redeem the time? We redeem the time by simply getting those things out of our life that don't belong there, those strongholds and habits and thoughts and ideas that are not of God. We remove them, we replace them with the things of God that we've just talked about. That's what happens. And the very first thing God does in our life as we come to Him in that, between that child and young adult stage, is He begins to remove those things from our life that are not of Him and replace them with the things that are. And that's what's happening as we grow from childhood to young adulthood and begin to have the Word of God abide in us and overcome the wicked one and overcome evil. Then how should we deal with the problems we have with other people in order to grow spiritually? And that's found in Matthew 5, 23 and 24 and 18, 15 through 17. And basically it says if you have a problem with another person, then you deal with them privately at first if possible. And then if you need to, you bring a couple people who love Jesus and have a humble heart and attitude, you bring them to help you deal with it. And if that doesn't work out, then you may have to bring it to the larger group. Now, let me just say this. It says, here, brethren, now there's lost people you'll never make things right with till they get saved. And you need to accept that. You need to love them. You need to forgive them. You need to just minister unto them. You may need to try and talk with them and get reconciled. But if they're lost, you may never get it straight. But especially a brother or sister in the Lord, you need to seek forgiveness and to get things right with them or whatever it is to get problems straight with other people. So that's part of the spiritual growth. It's dealing with that anger, dealing with problems as we just talked about. Now, how should we live in order to grow spiritually? That's found from Romans 8, 5 and 6 and Galatians 5, 16 and 25. And we already kind of mentioned this in lesson number two, but we're coming back to living by the Spirit. And then we do that, as Romans tells us, by setting our mind on the things of the Spirit, which goes back to that spiritual warfare we studied about in lesson four. Setting our minds on the things of the Spirit and then walking, doing what the Spirit tells us to do, walking in the Spirit. So how do we live? How do we live so that we do experience the spiritual growth? It's when God reveals something to our heart and our mind through the Word of God, and as we spend time in prayer, then we seek the presence of God, and we seek to hear His voice and set our mind on that thing that God has, and then seek through the power of His Holy Spirit to do it. Remember, we can't do it in our own strength. It's not us being good, but it's God through the power of the Holy Spirit helping us to walk in victory and obedience. Then how will spiritual growth help you in your relationship with God? From John 7:17 and Ephesians 5:17. And basically it says we will know the truth. We'll know the truth. We'll know the doctrines, the things that are told us, whether they're from God. And we'll know His will and be able to do His will. And how does doing His will enable us to experience victory in this life? Well, it removes condemnation. It makes all things work together for good. It gives us the assurance that we're a child of God. These are all found in Romans 8, 1 and chapter 8, verse 1, and verses 13 through 14 and 28 and verse 31 and 35 through 39 and then Colossians 1, 9 through 13. It promotes that spiritual growth of our heart and our mind. That obedience, that walking by the Spirit, and walking in obedience promotes that spiritual growth that we need to be that child of God, to grow as a child of God. So obedience to the Word and the prayer. We're going to study about that being our diet and exercise in just the next couple of lessons. But that obedience to the Word and prayer as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, takes away condemnation. It makes all things work together for good. It means that we can overcome every problem. Nakedness, peril, or sword, or whatever, sickness. None of these things can defeat us as we walk in the power of Jesus. And that's what spiritual growth will enable you to do. You will walk in victory as you allow yourself to grow spiritually. through this process of child, young adult, and adult, and allow God to remove those things from your life that He wants to remove and replace them with the things God wants you to replace. And that comes through obedience. As you're obedient daily, those things will be removed, and you will grow. You know, just as a child doesn't need to struggle to grow to manhood if he's given the right physical nourishment, the right food, he will grow to be a strong young man or woman. We don't need to struggle to grow spiritually if we feed our spirit man. And that comes through reading the Word of God in prayers. We're going to be talking about it in a minute in the next lesson. And then being obedient, walking in the Spirit, being obedient to the Word in prayer. And God will give you that victory. God wants to lead you in victory to fulfill His purpose in your life. So let's ask ourselves some basic questions now. What stage of spiritual growth are you in? Just stop right now if you haven't done it and write down. What spiritual growth stage are you in? A child or a young adult or adult? Just think, do I just simply know my sins are forgiven me for Jesus' sake? Or am I walking in faith and experiencing God's victory through His Word in my life? Or do I know His purpose? Am I an adult and I'm living to fulfill His purpose for my life? What stage of growth am I in? Then, what does doing God's will enable you to do? Are you seeking to add to your faith the things that you need to in order to grow spiritually? And are you doing it in the proper order God wants you to do? Are you letting God enable you to do those things He wants you to do? Faith, virtue, knowledge, patience, endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and agape love. God's Word enables us to grow in those things. And are you letting God allow you to grow? Are you adding to your faith, virtue? Are you living or seeking to live through the power of the Holy Spirit that which you know to do? Are you adding to that more knowledge of the Word? Are you being patient and enduring and doing it, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like you have a victory right away? You may need to have some patience and endurance and grow in character in God. And then you'll begin to see things from God's point of view and be able to have that agape love that you need to have. So are you adding those things? And what things does God need to remove from your life in order for you to grow spiritually? You know, we went through the things of speaking truth to your neighbor, not lying, not stealing, dealing with anger, coarse jesting, corrupt conversation, all those things. Which of those is still strong in your life, and does God need to remove from your life so that you can experience His victory in your heart and in your life and in your mind? Which of those things needs to be removed from your life? And then, are you seeking to set your mind on the things of God and of the Spirit in order to walk in the Spirit? Just think about that. What goes through your mind every day? Do you just think about the things that please you, or is your mind, do you wake up? I had a young man I've been ministering to. I just talked with him yesterday, and he's a child, but he's learning this. He said, you know, I got up this morning, the first thing in my mind was Jesus, how much I love Him, how much I want to serve Him. So are the things in your mind the things of God? Are you setting them in your mind first thing every morning? And is knowing and doing God's will the most important thing in life to you? We keep asking that, but it's important because we need to examine and see that. If not, pray and ask God to help you. And all these things, if any of these are a problem to you, if you need to know the things that are hindering you from knowing God, or if you need to set the things of your mind first on the things of God, pray and ask God to help you in these areas. He will. You need to stop right now as we come to the end of this lesson. Stop the tape and pray about those things you need to pray about. Well,
finally, let's just look at our memory verse from Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow me. And that's what we have to do. We have to, every day, take up our cross and follow Jesus. We have to deny ourselves. So let's just say that together again. From Luke 9:23, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow me. We're glad you could join us for lesson number 5, and we look forward to having you with us for lesson number 6 on the basic Christian life.